The New World Order in Bible prophecy. It's hidden in plain view. I'm going to be naming the names tonight. I'm going to be, I think, giving you some information that probably you won't hear a lot of places. I'm not trying to be sensationalistic. Please understand that. I'm going to talk about some conspiracies, but I'm not conspiracy oriented. But they do exist. So, because we have, basically, we have a united earth. Now, as we talk about the issue of global government, and that's what's going, that's what the dark forces would love to see happen. And of course, the Bible talks about it, and I'll get there. What kind of government do you think a global government would be? Would it be a democracy? Probably not. Would it be capitalism? Probably not. Would it be socialism, communism? Probably. The Antichrist will be the ruler of it. And keep in mind that anybody under the age of 50 has been indoctrinated. It doesn't mean they've accepted it, but they've been indoctrinated to believe that a one-world government that is talked about in the Bible is a good thing. And I'll explain that in just a moment. Who popularized this? One of those, or four of those who popularized it, would be the Beatles, particularly John Lennon. John Lennon wrote a song in 1971 called Imagine. It's, imagine there are no countries, it isn't hard to do, nothing to kill or die for, no religion to, imagine all the people living life in peace. He went on, you may say that I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us and the world will live as one. Now, when the Beatles talk about it, you know, be it yoga, no matter what they talked about, starting in the 60s, going into the 70s, going into the 80s, John Lennon killed in the 80s, the world accepts it. And so he promoted this concept of a global government in 1971, and a whole generation signed on to it. It's very demonic, truly is. Again, the thinking is, by the globalists, if we could have a one world government, it will solve all the world's problems. There'll be no war, there'll be no poverty, there'll be no injustice, there'll be global peace and prosperity, but we have to get rid of individual governments. And of course, the biggest stumbling block, of course, is America. America, the church, Christianity, family values, those are the stumbling blocks to global government, which will be led eventually by the Antichrist. But the point tonight is it's beginning now. And you can start to see the beginnings of it, and I'm going to show you how here in just a moment. So this was the mindset back in Babylon as well. In Babylon, of course, God got totally disgusted with it all and said, I'm going to confuse the languages, which is exactly what he did. But the first globalist was Nimrod. And Nimrod was the head of the empire back then, Babel, and he built that tower. He built it in part to say, shook his fist at God with that tower, which was built in part to save them if another flood came, but it's also used as kind of an observation, sort of for astrological type things. So that's the Tower of Babel. It was in this area, which is today Iraq, plains of Shinar. And I think this is interesting because, again, the picture on your right, excuse me, on your left, is by Peter Bruegel, which is a artist depiction, I think it goes back to the 1500s, of the Tower of Babel. But on the other side is the EU Parliament in Strasbourg. I'm going to be talking about Europe again. America's not all that important. Everything's Europe, Europe, Europe. In Strasbourg, France, that's one of the headquarters of the EU. Brussels, Belgium, and Strasbourg, France. in Strasbourg, France. Does that not look like the Tower of Babel? Europe today is proud of Babylon, even though Babylon was totally a cult. Europe is proud of it and is still mimicking the Tower of Babel. The symbol of the European Union is a woman riding the beast, Revelation 17, and that's on their one of their stamps. And it's also on a coin, Greek Euro coin, is a woman riding the beast. Do they know this is right out of the Bible? No. Again, they're kind of useful idiots of the Antichrist who's waiting in the wings, because he's not here yet. He's not here yet. They don't know they're being played as fools. And once they figure it out and wake up, it'll be way too late. Even today, today in promotion for Europe, these kinds of posters are going back to the Tower of Babel. The construction little crane there is that Europe is still under construction. Those stars above the crane and above the tower, this is, again, promotion for Europe. Those stars are pentagrams. They're stars that are demonic and satanic, a five-pointed pentagram star. Again, and I played the presentation by Amir Sarfati a couple weeks ago, Europe getting ready for the Antichrist. They are so ready for the Antichrist to come out of Europe, which he will. So this just is a reminder. So why did I have an interest, a renewed interest in this kind of a topic? We had an election last year, and it was between a globalist and a nationalist. Hillary Clinton, the ardent globalist, the strong one-worlder, and Donald Trump, 100% pro-American. Having said that, the globalists are trying to kind of co-opt him and bring him over into the globalist world, and I'll say more about that. He said during the campaign, and once he was elected, we will no longer surrender this country or its people to the false song of globalism. Now, he meant that. He is disgusted with these one-worlders. He's not a politician. He's a businessman. He doesn't understand their thinking. So at this point, he is still an ardent nationalist. This was recently the G20 in Germany. The full picture here would show everybody wearing the G20 little lapel pin, except Donald Trump is wearing a flag pin. So this is his nationalism. He's an ardent America First guy. We need to keep praying because, again, the globalists are trying to co-opt him and bring him into the other camp. He's also, and Michelle will say more about this next week, he's also surrounded by good guys and bad guys. The good guys, Steve Bannon and some others, and then some bad guys that are really high-powered leftists. I'm not going to get into naming them, but his son-in-law is one, Jared Kushner. So, the New York Times, Breitbart. New York Times columnist pleads with globalist billionaires to save the nation from Trump. So, in the corner down there, you can see 94-year-old Henry Kissinger, still an ardent globalist. And they're pleading with these people to save the country and save the world from nationalism. That's how out of favor it is. White House globalists using National Economic Council to undermine president's agenda. Again, there are globalists in the White House. Kushner, Gary Cohn, all sorts of them are in the White House trying to bring Donald Trump left of center and into the global agenda. Whether or not he's caving, you know, I couldn't speak to that. So which will it be? Will it be America? Or will it be globalism? Now, will nationalism trump globalism? Pun intended. This is on the left side, this is what we're told globalism is. It's people who just have different cultures, but we're all going to get along. We look at things differently. We have different clothing, different percept, but we're all get along, and we're going to love each other. That's the false perception of globalism. What it really is the other side. And I hate to be conspiratorial, but I'm going to be. It's men sitting in dark rooms, dark smoke-filled rooms, scheming up evil and scheming ways to bring the world together, ultimately under the Antichrist. Okay, now, Brexit happened a year ago, June 2016, Brexit happened. Great Britain said, we don't want to be a part of the EU anymore. Headlines said, the future of globalism stands at a crossroads because of Brexit. So we saw Polish experts, Europe is at the end of its existence. Western Europe is practically dead. Believe me, this is convenient for the Antichrist who will come out of Europe, the fact that Europe is practically dead. The Antichrist will come out of this empire and stabilize it eventually. He may even be on the scene. As a matter of fact, I think he is. Where is global government in the Bible? Let me read at least the most prominent couple of verses found in Revelation 13, 6 and 7. It opened its mouth, that's the beast, the Antichrist. It opened its mouth to utter blasphemies against God, blaspheming his name and his dwelling. That is, those who dwell in heaven. Also, it was allowed, it, again, the beast, the Antichrist. Also, it was allowed to make war on the saints and to conquer them. And authority was given over every tribe and people and language and nation. So when something has control over every tribe, people, language, and nation, obviously it's a global government. And obviously it's got to be in formation now. If we're as late as we think we are, and I think we are very, very late, it's got to be in some form of stage right now. That's the point I'm making tonight. I'm going to go through the organizations, and I can't get them all. The organizations that are the promoters today of global government, but I'm going back even 5,000 years. First, we had Nimrod, the first globalist. We had the Kabbalah, which goes back, it's the Jewish occult, goes back to the 5th century BC. It promoted the one world concept and the one world government system. We had the Knights Templar, 1100 to 1300, also they're same as the Crusaders. They were ardent one-worlders. We had that morphed into the Rosicrucian Order, 17th and 18th century, and they were, the purpose of the Rosicrucians was to lead the world to a one-world system. It's amazing how this concept, which is so flawed, which is so deceptive and so deceitful, has been able to thrive and flourish for 5,000 years. And you'll see why when we get a little closer to the end. May 1st, 1776, the Illuminati. They were all about, and they still exist, all of these outfits, at least starting about here, the 1700s, still exist. And their existence today is still to bring about that one world system. They're very conspiratorial, and they're very, very dark. The Freemasons, 1800s, they exist in part to bring about a one world government, one world system. I want to say a word here about President Woodrow Wilson. Wilson was in office 1913 to 1921. The gentleman pictured with him is Edward Mandel House, one of his primary advisors. House got Woodrow Wilson into World War I with the intent of having World War I morph into global government. Obviously, it didn't work. I want to say a little bit more here. Because also under Woodrow Wilson came the Federal Reserve Bank, a very evil system. which you and I are slaves to. So this came in under Woodrow Wilson. A little bit of information about the Federal Reserve. It is in 12 districts around America. It is run by unelected bureaucrats. It is extremely secretive. The Constitution does not mention a central bank. It can create money out of thin air by people who aren't elected. These are bureaucrats who appoint themselves heavily. It devalues our currency. It resists congressional oversight. It rewards the elites. It hurts the middle class. Woodrow Wilson signed this into existence in 1913. You need this for global government. Woodrow Wilson, when he woke up and realized what he had done, he's a progressive with a capital P, believe me. He still said, "I am a most unhappy man. I have unwittingly ruined my country. A great industrial nation is now controlled by its system of credit. We are no longer a government by free opinion, no longer a government by conviction and the vote of the majority, but a government by the opinion and duress of a small group of dominant men." He said that in 1919, but he signed this into existence in 1913. He knew what this would lead to. He knew it was part of the bricks and mortars of a one world system, which he was for because he's a globalist. But he regretted that he brought this into reality. Now, in the 1920s came David Rockefeller. That's not Rockefeller. This is a man by the name of Carol Quigley. David Rockefeller is the modern-day father of globalism. There are many, many players, but David Rockefeller and George Soros, I'll get to Soros later. Rockefeller started in the 1920s, the son of John D. Rockefeller. David Rockefeller formed the Council on Foreign Relations, 1921. Carol Quigley said, "The Council on Foreign Relations is the American branch of a society which originated in England and believes national boundaries should be obliterated and a one-world rule established." David Rockefeller was the primary, at least early, promoter of this idea and financer. The billionaires are financing all of this. The League of Nations came out in 1919 with the hope that it could create global government. After World War I, League of Nations. Obviously, after World War II came the United Nations with the hope that they could form a single government. Don't you find this amazing that so many people are so committed to something that is so biblical, but they are looking at it really from the perspective of the Antichrist, not from the position of Jesus Christ, or the way you and I would look at it, that this is not anything that's a good idea. It's a really, really bad idea, a single government. But they see it as the answer to everything. In 1954, came the Bilderberg. We talked about that the first night here. If you want any CDs of previous 4 weeks, they're downstairs. Next week there'll be a CD of this. Club Bilderberg came along in 1954. And again, it was with the intent of somehow creating in a dark room the workings that would morph into a one world government. The Club of Rome, 1968, that put the world in 10 regions, and out of this would come, hopefully, global government. So all these people can think about this global government. They're obsessed by it, truly obsessed. They're doing the will of Satan. Here's a man who opposed it. John F. Kennedy was an enemy of the New World Order. Let me just say a word about him. He criticized secret societies. He wanted to dismantle the Federal Reserve. He came against the CIA. He really was an enemy of this whole system. We know he didn't last very long in office. Another man who came against it was Representative Larry McDonald, Democrat from Georgia. He said, the drive of the Rockefellers and their allies is to create a one-world government combining supercapitalism and communism under the same tent, all under their control. Do I mean conspiracy? I do. I am convinced there is such a plot, international in scope, generations old in planning. Yes, going back to Babel. And incredibly evil in intent. Representative McDonald was on a plane, Korean Airlines, in 1983. A bomb blew up inside. 200 people and Representative McDonald were killed. He was trying to expose the globalists. So you can see these men are empowered by evil. Their goal is the kingdom of the Antichrist. They don't know it. They don't know it. They think that they're doing the world a favor. Again, David Rockefeller, Zbigniew Brzezinski, they put the Trilateral Commission together in 1973. And again, cooperation between North America, Western Europe, and Japan. But the ultimate goal was that this would help bring the world together into global one-world government. Okay, the Vatican. Can't talk about globalism without talking about the Vatican. They're a huge player. And John Paul, back in the 80s, said, by the end of this decade, we will live under the first one-world government that has ever existed in the society of nations. A government with absolute authority to decide the basic issues of human survival. One world government is inevitable. He's right. It's going to be under Antichrist. I don't think he understands that. But it is inevitable. Pope Francis is called the vicar of the New World Order. He's called that by secularists. He's totally committed globalist. He's a socialist. He's probably a Marxist. But he definitely is not spreading the gospel. And here we have Time magazine, the new world pope, the new Roman Empire. And 12 times Pope Francis has openly promoted a one world religion or a new world order. Now, is he going to be the false prophet? Again, we don't know. It's a little foolish to go there. It's pure speculation. I think he's a very likely candidate. He's also aging, so if he's going to be it, we need to get the show on the road here, because I don't know how many years he has left. I mean, to be globe-trotting all over the world as he's doing. So, again, the church is not present to witness either the Antichrist or the false prophet. We are removed in the rapture. Only when the church is removed can these evil men come on the scene. Yet we are to discern the times. So if we're to discern the times, then I'm saying this scenario is building and building and building. It began in Babylon. It morphed into the Rosicrucians, the Illuminati, on and on, Council on Foreign Relations, Trilateral Commission, all of these with the same intent to create a one-world system, one-world government. 1980s, 1988. Mikhail Gorbachev urges a new world order. They're all using the same term, new world order, or one world system. 1988, further global progress is now possible only through a quest for a universal consensus in the movement towards a new world order. Mikhail Gorbachev. Again, in 1991, David Rockefeller, he's the modern day Pied Piper of all this. The world is now more sophisticated and prepared to march towards world government. Why would such an intelligent, successful businessman as David Rockefeller say, enough with American capitalism and democracy, we're going to throw all of that out and we're going to blend all the governments of the world together with one ruler? It sounds like insanity. They are deceived. They've come under strong delusion. And he said, this is a quote from him in 2003 in one of his books, He says, for more than a century, an ideological extremists at either end of the political spectrum have seized upon well-publicized incidents such as my encounter with Castro to attack the Rockefeller family for the inordinate influence they claim we wield over American political and economic institutions. Some even believe we belong to a secret cabal working against the best interests of the United States, characterizing my family as internationalists, and of conspiring with others around the world to build a more integrated global political and economic structure. One world, if you will. If that is the charge, I stand guilty, and I'm proud of it. So again, he's the modern-day Pied Piper, started it in the 20s. It's been picked up by others, including Soros. He says, all we need, this is David Rockefeller, all we need is the right major crisis, and the nations will accept the new world order. What could that crisis be? It could be one of a number of things. It could be financial. It could be terror-related. What if terror attacks, let's just say in America, were to go off simultaneously in 10 American big cities, all at the same time? That would cause people to say, we do need a savior to deliver us from this kind of a perilous situation. It could be weather-related or environmental. It could be such a thing as World War III, the crisis that would bring all of this. I don't think it's any of these things. Here's what it is. It's the rapture. This is what will bring this, what they're longing for. It's going to take the rapture. Once that happens and we're out of here, we're out of the way. We pesky Christians who keep talking about the king is coming. Well, he came and he took us, and these folks are left behind and they're in a daze. And they will receive this man who's waiting in the wings. We don't know who he is. They'll receive him. They'll receive him with really open arms. Now, more useful idiots of this whole movement would be, I want to go into the environmental here just for a moment or two. Gorbachev said more recently, the threat of environmental crisis will be the international disaster key that will unlock the new world order. It really won't. Again, they think it's going to be financial or environmental. Again, it'll be the rapture, but he thinks it's going to be environmentalism that's going to demand we have global government. George H.W. Bush, my vision of a new world order, foresees a United Nations with a revitalized peacekeeping function. Ardent globalists, the Bush family, all of them, but particularly H.W. Bush. It's a big idea, a new world order. Only the United States has both the moral standing and the means to back it up. You may think that Jean Kirkpatrick was a great nationalist. She wasn't. In 1990, she said one of the purposes for the Desert Storm operation was to show to the world how a reinvigorated United Nations could serve as a global policeman in the New World Order. She was an internationalist, a globalist. Again, they're doing the bidding of the Antichrist. They don't know it. They don't know it. They think that this will bring peace, prosperity. This will bring the solution to all of the world's troubles. They are so deceived. Henry Kissinger, the New World Order cannot happen without U.S. participation. Yes, there will be a New World Order, and it will force the U.S. to change its perceptions. One of the biggest, strongest, and you saw a picture of him early on here, now in his 90s, still pushing for a one world system. They don't give up. They're empowered by Satan. They don't know it. They're empowered by Satan because Satan's got to come against God's plan for the end of the age. For the plan of the ages, Satan has to come and try to squelch God's end time plan. And this would do it, but they won't succeed. Even journalists, Walter Cronkite, One World Government, To do that, of course, we Americans will have to yield up some of our sovereignty. It would take a lot of courage, a lot of faith in the new order. He also says a system of world government, preferably a system of world order, preferably a system of world government, is mandatory. The proud nations someday will see the light, and for the common good and their own survival, yield up their precious sovereignty. We're going to yield our precious sovereignty. He may be right. I mean, ultimately, that's true. The Antichrist will cause that to happen. Just how willing everybody will be, I think they'll be pretty willing, and I'll explain why. Again, useful idiots are the environmental movement, because it's the theory is that in order to protect our environment, we have to have a single government, a one-world system. 7 in 10 Brits, this is the Independent, 7 in 10 Brits support world government to protect humanity from global catastrophes. So they're going to be willing to give things up, including sovereignty, to protect whatever, in this case, the environment. The Church of Climatology, Al Gore, very, very, very wealthy, a billionaire, because he came up with a scam. Came up with a scam that fooled the world. And that is, we're warming to the, like, less than 1 degree in the next 20, 30 years, and we will fry like an egg on the pavement if we don't do something about this kind of global warming, climate change. And then you've got evangelicals going along with it. You would think, and I'm all for taking care of creation. Please don't hear me say that we shouldn't be taking care of creation, but we've got outfits, evangelical outfits, like Restoring Eden. Folks, we can't restore Eden. Give me a break. We can't do it. We can't bring Eden back. We are a society that's declining, a culture that's declining, a planet that's declining. We're not going to go back to Eden. But you've got an evangelical outfit, Restoring Eden, environmental, evangelical environmental network. They exist to stop the world from frying, all of us from frying. It's bogus science. It's not even a fact. But Al Gore fooled everybody some 10 to 15 years ago, 20 years ago, and this is the result. But it's playing into the hands of the globalists. Now, again, recently, Donald Trump pulled out of the Paris Climate Agreement. Why? He's not a globalist. He's a nationalist. He said, I'm America first. Because I'm America first, we're not going to be in this treaty, this Paris Climate Agreement. We're not going to be in it. I've got to look out, he said, first for Pittsburgh, then for Paris. So he pulled out, and it's because he's a nationalist. Again, Romans 1:25, they gave up the truth about God for a lie, and they worshiped God's creation instead of God. And that is what these environmentalists are doing. Because they're basically leftist, godless people, they don't really have a God. They've turned the environmentalism cause into their God, and they're worshiping the creation instead of the Creator. And again, you've got some evangelical outfits who are at least playing along in this, which is, I find, really, really tragic. Okay, globalist-in-chief. David Rockefeller just died. He died in the last 6 months. Zbigniew Brzezinski died in the last 6 months, I think. So we've still got George Soros, well into his 80s. Says the main obstacle to a stable and just world order is the United States. I said that as I opened the program. There are certain things that are obstacles. America, the church, Christianity, capitalism, patriotism, these things are in the way. They've got to go. And he's one of those promoting they've got to go. They thought Hillary Clinton, ardent globalist, was going to win last November. Obviously, they were shocked. God just had other plans. We can't understand exactly what's in God's mind, but he said, not quite yet. If she had gotten in, indeed, this one world plan, this one world system, would be so on the fast track. God said, not quite yet. He also manipulates currency. George Soros is nicknamed the man who broke the Bank of England by correctly betting that the British government would have to devalue the pound sterling. Soros made $1 billion during the 92 Black Wednesday UK currency crises. He's done this in other countries. He does it with the hope that the government will collapse and this will bring about the one world government, the one world system, Antichrist plan. Again, he doesn't know it's in the Bible. He's kind of another useful idiot of the devil. So you see all the rioting, the rent-a-mobs, this Soros, Soros funding anti-Trump groups to push his one world government dream. All over the world, this man is financing a lot of the activity that's going on by way of demonstrations and rioting. He finances it. He's a very evil man. I'm sure he is a demon-possessed man. Very, very evil man. Again, these two people, Obama and Trump, had two completely different views on globalism in their first addresses to Congress. One, an ardent globalist, Obama. Again, the other, a nationalist. Obama, the world is more interconnected than ever. And it's becoming more connected every day. Building walls won't change that. This is a cartoon. It says, what are your thoughts on the UN's vision of global government? Do I get to be in charge? That's what a world leader would want. Could he be that global leader? I don't think so. I think it's a European. We'll say more about that here in the next few minutes. I don't know how many of you know what happened last October. We gave the internet away. Those of us who are on the internet see it as one of the most useful tools that we have ever had. Obviously, it has its evil side as well. He gave it away to the UN last October. That's part of his globalism plan. It's part of his weaken America plan. It's part of his America second, third, and fourth, not first, plan. It's to take that internet, which we invented, take it away, give it to the UN, and that plays right into the hands of the globalists. We no longer are in charge of the internet. That is very, very scary. You find a lot of truth on the internet. You also find trouble, but you find a lot of truth. And that's where I get my news and information. I don't pay any attention to TV, radio, nothing, just the internet. Because if you know the right sources, that's where you can go to really get the truth. It's no longer in our control. It's in the hands of the globalists. This is huge. It's huge. It happened and nobody even paid any attention. Again, Clinton Global Initiative, Bill and Hillary Clinton, ardent globalists. Their plan, again, is a one-world system. So Clinton Global Initiative is all about, obviously it was also a big scam and fraud, but ultimately it's about global government. So, again, the globalists in a state of shock that she did not win. You may think somebody like Paul Ryan, are you telling me he's a globalist? Absolutely, he's a globalist. Globalist maestro Paul Ryan strikes again. It's why the Congress can't get anything done. Most of them are globalists, on the right and the left. Most are globalists. The media has conditioned voters to believe that bipartisan bills are good. And like former Speaker John Boehner, Speaker Ryan uses bipartisan branding to quietly pass globalist legislation. He is an ardent one-worlder. In the election a year ago or 6 months ago, signs were in Wisconsin. Globalists for Paul Ryan. Keep our borders open. Vote Paul Ryan. He's for open borders, unlimited immigration. He's a completely sold-out globalist. As long as he's in the position he's in, nothing will get done in Washington. Nothing. But they intentionally put in a globalist. And you can see they're in deadlock. No kidding. Back in January, Joe Biden at the World Economic Forum, he's warning about the collapse of the world order as he says goodbye. Mark Zuckerberg, CEO of Facebook, commitment to a global basic income. He's an ardent one-worlder. Open borders, complete open borders. And we know the downside of complete open borders. But these globalists cannot see it as anything but good, because it's a part of the one world plan. Okay, we'll spend just an extra minute on Emmanuel Macron. There's so much I could say. We talked about him on air this weekend. Some of you might have heard Amir Sarfati and I discuss Emmanuel Macron. And I've talked about him in other meetings. He's a globalist. He's a Europhile. Let me move ahead here. This was on the cover of The Economist magazine, which is European, in summer here of 2017. Europe's savior, question mark. He's walking on water. Is Emmanuel Macron Europe's savior? I don't know. He's very Antichrist-esque. Not saying he's it. He certainly is a forerunner if he isn't it. Some interesting things about Macron. He's one of the most bizarre leaders in history. I could go into a whole list of reasons why he's bizarre. He married his high school teacher, who's 25 years older than he is, which, I mean, you know, that's not a crime. It's just unusual. He's just a very, very, he just has some very, they call him Jupiter after the Roman god. This Gateway Pundit magazine says his impact on the world could be massive. The young man, he's 39 years old. He's himself, he says, Emmanuel Macron says, the French culture does not exist. Well, of course it doesn't exist if you're a globalist. You don't care about the French culture. You care about the globalist society. That's what you care about. You don't care about Germans, don't care about Germany. French don't care about France. You care about the one world system. He's the consummate one world man, Emmanuel Macron, new president of France. Keep your eye on him. I think this was a headline in New York Times, Macron and the revival of Europe. Have you ever heard of the revived Roman Empire? Here it is in headlines, Macron and the revival of Europe. Is he suspicious? The revived Roman Empire out of Daniel 7, the fourth beast? I don't know. I mean, I'm not trying to name the Antichrist. I think we got to be very cautious about doing things like that. I really do. Because then when it doesn't pan out, we get egg on our face and we really look like fools. But we're to discern the times. So I think asking these questions is legitimate. Is he an end time player? Without a doubt. Absolutely. As is a pope, an end time player. Are they it? We don't know. We need to be careful. But it's intriguing, and those of us who are longing for a trumpet blast, it's fun to speculate that maybe these guys are already on the scene. They probably, I know they don't know. They don't, if they're it, they do not know. They don't know that they could be tapped. Again, longing for a savior. This is the homepage of CNN. It's actually back in 2016. It says, who can make it stop? It's violence against the police. It's the Dallas police shooting of 2016. And at the bottom, and I don't think you can read it, and I know you can't, it says, is there a leader who can stop the chaos? That's the homepage of CNN. So the secularists are asking, is there a leader we can turn to? Is there a leader who can stop the chaos? That's what it says down at the bottom of the CNN homepage a year ago. They're longing for a man with a plan. They're longing for a Mr. Fix-It who can stop the chaos. Arnold Toynbee, British historian, said the nations of the world are ready to give the kingdoms of the world to any one man who will offer us a solution to the world's problems. Any one man will give him the keys to the kingdom. Just solve our problems. Henry Spock, he is was a part of NATO. He said back in 1957, what we want is a man of sufficient stature to hold the alliances of all people and to lift us out of the economic morass into which we are sinking. Send us such a man, and be he God or devil, we will receive him. Spock said that in 1957. How much more of a desperate situation is the world in now compared to 1957? I keep hearing the 1950s were a pretty safe time of happy days and things like that. But this man is saying they're so bad in the 1950s. Send us somebody, be it God or devil, we'll receive him. And it's things are exponentially worse than they were back then. Even on our currency, our $1 bill, it's Novus Ordo Seclorum, New World Order, printed right on our currency. So it's something that's out there that's bigger than you have any kind of comprehension. This whole kind of thinking of a one world global government. Now, how do they implement the plan? Here are just some quick bullet points. Here's what would have to be a part of any kind of a global system. Socialized medicine. Again, this is why the push, and if the Republicans don't get their act together, we're going to have socialized medicine. And I have a feeling it's going to happen. But that has to be a part of any one world agenda. Gun control has to be a part of any global agenda. Big government, of course, for all countries, not just America, all countries have to be controlled by their government. And Europe is already that way. Donald Trump got in the way of the plan here in America. High taxes have to be a part of the scenario. Population reduction, they want the population to go from, I think it's almost 7 billion down to 500 million. Christians will be very easily expendable to the globalists. And one way they can do it is through socialized medicine. Don't give Christians care. I mean, that's what would happen if socialized medicine is passed, implemented in America, that could be on the agenda. Immigration, it's cheap labor, it's open borders, that's part of the globalist plan. You can see all of this is in play. Environmentalism, I've already explained. We've got to save the environment, we've got to stop global warming, or we're all going to, again, fry if we don't stop global warming. So this is the big, great big push. Increase the debt, increase poverty. I can't even include everything. International welfare is a part of the plan. 100 bullet points. Class warfare is a part of the plan. No religion, but a single pagan religion. Destroy the family. And then this is a quote from Brock Adams, UN Health Organization. To achieve world government, it's necessary to remove from the minds of men their individualism, loyalty to family, traditions, national patriotism, and religious dogmas. Actually, Hillary Clinton said something very similar to this all of last year. If she were to be president, she would enforce this kind of thinking here. Do you realize what we were spared from last November? It's because of evangelicals. That's why there's an evangelical advisory committee to Trump, because he's very indebted to evangelicals who got him elected, because he does not think this way. But the globalists do. What does God say? And I think this is really, really important. As a matter of fact, this is the bottom line to everything. God says, first of all, let's just look at Psalm 2. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against his anointed, saying, let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens laughs. In the original language, it would be he laughs with derision. The Lord holds them in derision, then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, as for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. God looks at these fools, and he's actually laughing. It's the only time in the Bible it talks about God laughing. It's when he's looking at these world leaders and their silly plan to undo him and install this single global government, which will happen for 7 years, the 7-year tribulation. It will happen. Ephesians 6:12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. These men are heavily demon-possessed who are trying to bring about this new system. They do not know that they're serving the Antichrist, who isn't on the scene yet. I think he's waiting in the wings. So they don't understand the seriousness of what they're doing. They don't understand they're coming up against the God of the universe. They have no idea because they're godless. But they're, obviously, they've been at this for 5,000 years. Psalm 37, fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. These men who are literally meeting in dark rooms, smoke-filled rooms, planning for a one-world system, they will fade like the grass. They will wither like the green herb. God's going to have the last laugh. Now, what is our conclusion? The world is under strong delusion of Romans 1. When you get under the Romans 1 delusion, it's kind of the last phase of strong delusion is the reprobate mind. These men are turned over to a reprobate mind. They can't see truth. They're blinded. They're determined to wipe out God, to be greater than God, to be as God, as says in Isaiah, I will ascend and be like God. And that's what they're trying to be. They're going to call evil good and good evil as they try to bring about this system. They're at war with God. That's why you can't be a Christian and be one of these people trying to bring about global government. If you hear one say they are Christian, I believe it's not possible. And God has the final say when it comes to this ultimate plan. He has the final say. He's going to allow it, they're trying to prevent God's kingdom on earth. That's ultimately what they're trying to do, because you do realize a one-world system is on its way. God's system is on its way. There's going to be a seven-year interruption, a seven-year system where Antichrist and the devil are warring against God. They're ultimately defeated. So we are in a world that is lost, confused, unsure, unclear, perplexed. And we need to give them the truth, the inconvenient truth. Yet I'm grieved that the pulpits will not talk about a lot of the issues that are so important today. Again, they stopped doing this some 20 years ago. I think the seeker-sensitive movement, I think men like Rick Warren and Bill Hybels have something to do with that. They encouraged the pulpits to just bring in topics that are going to fill the pews and the offering plates and not give the people what they really need. So, as a result, world government is forming. It's forming as we speak. But here's the good news. The good news is Jesus Christ's return. This is in the second coming. First is the rapture. And then 7 years later, the second coming, when we return with Jesus Christ. We return with him. And we establish the 1,000 years of Christ's reign on earth. This is what the dark world is trying to prevent. If they could install a globalist system, they could stop this kingdom, the Lord Jesus Christ's kingdom on earth. And of course, God has the last say, so it will not work. He will come back. The millennial reign of Christ is going to happen. We come back with him. We serve with him. We are sort of the overseers of the millennium. Those who survive the tribulation go into the millennium with their earthly bodies. Those of us come back in the second coming with Jesus Christ, go into the millennium with glorified bodies. It's going to happen, the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. I think it's not all that far away. I really do. Some other things have to happen first. And again, it's a perfect kingdom. You've heard me talk about what the globalists have in mind. It is very dark and it's very evil. Compared to perfection, the lion and the lamb, the lion and the, I mean, nature just getting along. Stick your hand into the nest of a snake and you're not going to be bitten. The globalists can't compete with this, and that drives them crazy. So, here's the verse I think we need to think about. We've considered a lot of things that are dark. Revelation 11:15. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever and ever and ever. And we are going to reign with him if we are a child of the king." And I trust you are, because if you are not, then you would be a part of the Antichrist plan. You don't want to do that. I promise you, you don't want to do that. The consequences are eternal and the consequences are unspeakable. So I just encourage anyone tonight who is unsure of where they might spend eternity to seriously consider giving your life to the Lord Jesus Christ so that you know where you are spending not only eternity, but for this one world system that you're a part of, Jesus Christ one world system. Because again, he will reign forever and ever and ever. Is that not good news ultimately? There's a lot of darkness that precedes that. But ultimately, it's tremendously good news. That's the good news of the gospel. It's the good news that not everybody today seems to have. We have dark headlines. We have stories that have very unhappy endings. But ultimately, he reigns forever and ever. And he reigns out of what city? Jerusalem. And that's why that city is in such conflict every day of the year. Such conflict is because that will be the global seat. No, it's not Belgium, Brussels. It's not Strasbourg, France. It's not Washington, D.C. It's not any capital of the world other than Jerusalem, where King Jesus sits for 1,000 literal years. I know there are many who teach that's allegorical. I believe we take it literally when we can take it literally. I hope that's given you some insight as to the plan of the ages going all the way back to Babylon, with Nimrod being the first globalist, all the way through Bilderbergers, Illuminati, Council on Foreign Relations, Trilateral Commission, on and on, all of these organizations and individuals, David Rockefeller, George Soros, Zbigniew Brzezinski, all of them, Henry Kissinger, scheming, wheeling, and dealing, trying to bring about a one-world system with man on the throne. One of them, preferably, on the throne. As Barack Obama said in that little cartoon, "Can I rule that empire?" He said, "I want to be the ruler." And that's what all of these men are thinking. We're going to have a global government, and I, George Soros, will be the ruler and the emperor and the guy in charge. David Rockefeller, I'm sure, thought that, and he passed away in the last 6 months. They all thought they would be the ruler. They all came up against the God of the ages.